Okay, I call this public hearing to order. Craig, would you like to say anything about this ordinance? On behalf of the, Craig Galbraith, would you like to say anything on behalf of the planning board to explain why we're...
He's not here.
John Eller.
John Eller.
Mayor Craig's not here tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
At the last P&amp;Z meeting, I was elected as their new chairman.
Craig.
So...
Oh, oh.
I wasn't going to speak on this issue, but I will address it for a moment. Particularly for the town residents, I think the council is well aware of a little bit of the background on this issue is during the election, the previous mayor, in the October town council meeting, took exception to the placement of one of the current mayor, Swearingen, signs. During that meeting, we talked about where her sign was and that she had spoken with the Department of Transportation in Raleigh, gotten permission to place that sign. Mr. Lambeth wanted the Planning and Zoning Commission to take a look at the ordinance dealing with signs, political signs, and maybe make a change. So we took that under advisement, and at the time I was a member of Planning and Zoning, not its chairman. We looked at it, we designed some new words, which actually allowed greater placement of political signs before our recommendation from P&Z. It said you could not place signs in the extraterritorial outside the city limits of the town. And there are 14 typewritten pages in our code of ordinance dealing with signs. Two or three of those pages are political signs. But right in the first paragraph, this ordinance regarding signs applies to town limits. The same thing about the exterior limits outside of our town, which is the Dow Road. So we added that to our proposed solution, which would have, if you want to use the phrase, gone against what Mr. Lambeth wanted and actually been for the Swearingen. Because we agreed, as the D&Z, you could place signs during an election along Dow Road within the other rules about distance and no obstruction of view, no lighted signs, no way of distracting the traffic using those highlights. So, with that, we proposed the language, brought it forward to council last month, and now you, as the governing body, have scheduled this town hall or town meeting, or public hearing on this issue.
Thank you. Hey, would anyone like to speak? I have Randy Gilliland.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. My name is Randy Gilliland. I live at 133 South 6th Avenue, about a block from here. So I'm interested in this ordinance for a number of reasons. One, freedom of speech. The other is I've actually been an elected official. I placed these signs out for myself back when I was in Virginia. But one thing that's very helpful is the General Assembly has legislation specific to this issue. And unlike a lot of legislation, it's bipartisan. Walter Dalton, Tom Tillis, and Beth Perdue all signed off on it. And I think it's it's pretty comprehensive. I don't know that there's much more that this locality or any other locality needs to do with respect to further defining the usage of political signs. I think in whatever way we incorporate this into the town's ordinances is probably the best way to go. It's going to keep everyone out of trouble. It's going to meet all the requirements under the state law, as I'm sure they have debated in depth freedom of speech and other issues related to political signs. So I think the issue has been solved.
Andy, do you have a reference that you replied to?
Yes, Senate Bill 315, passed in 2011, session law 2001-408.
Yeah, and you read paragraph F of that? That actually allows municipalities to be more restrictive than that.
Absolutely.
If they desire?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and my suggestion is, yes, we can be more restrictive. State my party identification on a Democrat, but I've got libertarian in me too, which is, even if I don't agree with you, I will fight to the death for your right to say what you want to say. And so I'm a little bit liberal in the position of, you can put out yard signs, and there's been a lot of litigation around homeowners associations, and if you can put them out, and if you can't, then local law and state law that might apply to those homeowner associations. In general, I think you ought to be able to speak your mind in a nation of citizens united. If you have $10 million, you can speak, and if you don't have a dollar, you can't speak as much. The yard sign is pretty important. And I would say, to the degree, to speaking specifically to the ordinance, there are some things that sort of arbitrary, like 17 days prior to a primary election. I mean, how do we make that up? What is 17 days? Most folks, if they're paying attention to an election, it's at least 30 days. So it ought to be at least that much. It's very unclear as to the 17 days prior to the primary. Does that mean then through the general election, or do you have to take the signs up and then put them out 17 days before the general election? Anyway, there's a lot of ambiguity in what's been proposed. I don't think it serves the community very well. I think Senate Bill 315 speaks very clearly to it, and I don't think we all stray very far away from that. Happy to take any questions.
So, John, that's a good question. So where did the 17 days come from?
I don't know. That was not in our, I think that.
Well, it's not in the original ordinance.
Yeah, there are two ordinances. Did you guys write this?
Well, there's the current one and the proposed one.
I don't know why we would have done 17. There's no reason for that. The state law says 30.
Right.
And so I don't recall us discussing a shorter number.
Nancy, do you have an extra copy of this you could give to John? Because I don't.
It's sort of 2 days plus a weekend.
Right. Yeah, I know what it is, right?
And then the other is to be able to take them up is 5 days. So that's basically Wednesday to Sunday after the election to get your signs up. But quite frankly, we've all run for office, and the volunteers will bang them out to put them up. Boy, it's hard to get them back to take them down.
Right? Well, that's exactly the issue. So I think there's a couple issues. So one, I tend to agree with you on people's personal properties.
We're not supposed to have our
discussion. Oh, I can't have dogs. Okay, fine. Fair enough. I'm sorry. I apologize. Thanks for the point of order.
Thank you.
So, I would say, one, I think you ought to go back to the state law. It works well. If not, I would say that people pay attention to elections at least 30 days in advance, so it ought to be at least that long, if not before that time, that folks can put up a yard sign. It is freedom of speech on your own personal property. And in terms of taking them down, I didn't see any penalty for that if you don't do it. So I'm not sure if it's meaningful if there's no penalty for not taking them down, but we've all been through it. Volunteers will put them up, getting them back down. punitive action against, you know, an elected official or someone who did not get elected. Thank you all.
Thank you.
I thought there was a small penalty for not complying with the ordinance.
There is.
Not specific to 5 days, but you could get a penalty from having them in the right way. You could get a penalty for putting them up too early. You could get a penalty for them being too big. So you comply with all of the ordinance rules regarding the sign, or you could be penalized. Mm-hmm. Taking them down would be part of that too. Our intent, and Joe, I hope you would agree, our intent was to add the extraterritorial part of our community to the ordinance that was already printed, so that the issue of can somebody just put signs up within the city limits, up and down, public property, your own yard, or is it okay with this community to put them along the road? We were trying to add the download part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I offer one more thing, not to stir things up, but defining a political sign is very difficult. So an election sign is one thing. Any kind of other sign that might have a political implication, whether you believe it does or not, stating an opinion, how is that judged as well? So my bias is freedom of speech, let folks put those in terms of election signs, not just political signs. Election signs fall under the state law.
Okay, would anyone else like to speak to the ordinance?
There's an email.
Yes. Nancy Avery did receive an email that says, I am unable to attend tonight's public hearing, but I wanted to voice my opinion on this matter. My husband and I are in favor of redistricting political signs so they are only up for a short period of time before elections and taken down shortly afterwards. I feel that this gives the town a junky look with signs littering the town for months prior to elections. I read in the Star News that this may be considered unconstitutional because it only targets political signs. However, I rarely see other types of signs put up for any significant length of time. Therefore, I don't understand why this ordinance could not apply to all signs. Thank you for letting me express my viewpoint. Joan and Richard Van Ham, 233 Seawatch Way. Yes, ma'am.
I'm here, Beth Whitten.
Okay, please, Nancy, could you give this to her to sign, and if you would, come to the podium.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just have a question. How can we regulate Dow Road when that's government property? It's not Cherry Beach property. And I think we would have a difficult time saying you can't put a sign up there along, but we can't even walk back there. How can we say to somebody you can't even put a sign up back there?
Okay, could you please sign in?
That's fine. That's basic. I mean, it's really, that's my question. Maybe anybody knows the answer to that one.
Well, that's the whole concept of extraterritorial jurisdiction.
But if you do that, you say, but how does that give you the right to make that decision for the extraterritorial land?
It's the same way we have the zoning rights, ma'am. The two towns have at split where extraterritorial jurisdiction applies on the island.
I'm not talking about the towns. I'm talking about the government property. Where we're not, it says no trespassing?
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I'm talking about. How can we make decisions on that land when we don't have any control over that land? That's a federal government.
Ms. Whitten, I'll address that after the hearing is over.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Do I hear a motion to close the hearing?
Make a motion to close the hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now, discussion among the council.
Sure, I'll be glad to start.
Okay.
So, today I read the newspaper. Do you have a copy? Is that it?
No.
And in the newspaper, I guess the attorney wants to talk first. Do you want to talk first?
No, I'm just for a point of order here. You've closed public hearing. Now you're going to have a discussion. We haven't opened up a meeting.
Oh.
When we're not in session.
Well, there's nothing on my directions about opening the meeting. So all it says is close the public hearing and then council discussion and consideration. So do we need to reopen?
Yes, please.
Okay. Do I?
Make a motion we reopen for council discussion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Attorney.
Yes.
Keep us straight, right?
Yes.
So in the newspaper today, there were a couple of errors. One is that at least two different experts said that it's unconstitutional for us to be considering this issue. General Statute 136.32, Section F, specifically gives municipalities the authority to regulate political signs. So before, as we move into our discussion for the entire council, it is not unconstitutional. We were given that authority by the General Assembly of North Carolina. Now, if the ACLU or any other body decides it's unconstitutional, they can sue the General Assembly and determine with them what the right answer is. But the town has the authority to do this. The question is, what should we do? Our current statute, which is in everyone's record, already regulates this, and that's how we got into the beginning of this. So we have to do something. If we don't change it, then it is still regulated by our current ordinance. So if the council takes no action at all, that leaves the current ordinance in effect, which says they're not allowed in the right-of-way of the town limits or its extraterritorial jurisdiction. They shall not be attached to trees or utility poles, should not be roof-mounted, nor shall be allowed on any publicly owned property. Political signs may be erected within 100 yards of town hall or polling place 24 hours prior to the scheduled election, subject to limits imposed by New Hanover County Board of Elections. So with no change at all, that current ordinance stands, and they're not allowed. That's how we got into this, right? So I think council needs to understand, one, we have authority. Two, if we don't change it, they're not allowed. So with no action, they're not allowed. Correct, building inspector and attorney? I just want to make sure I'm reading it correctly, right?
Could I debate that?
Sure.
What do you mean by not allowed?
Not allowed at all, ever.
That's what it says.
Under any circumstances. Okay, according to state law, it says, compliant political sign. Oh, first of all, this is session law 2011-408. The ones out there may not know it. Senate Bill 315. An act to permit campaign signs in highway right-of-ways with reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions under Section 1, GS 136-32B, compliant political signs permitted. During the period beginning the 30th day before the beginning date of the one-stop early voting under GS 163-227.2, and ending on the 10th day after the primary or election, persons may place political signs in the right-of-way of the state highway system as provided in this section. Signs must be placed in compliance with subsection D of this section and must be removed by the end of the period prescribed in the subsection. C, there's a definition of what political signs are. D. Sign placement. The permittee must obtain the permission of any property owner of a residence, business, or religious institution fronting the right-of-way where a sign would be erected. Signs must be placed in accordance with the following: One, no sign permitted in the right-of-way of a fully controlled access to a highway. Two, no sign closer than 3 feet from the edge of the pavement or road. Three, no sign can obscure motorist visibility at an intersection. Four, no sign shall be higher than 42 inches above the edge of the pavement. Five, no sign shall be larger than 864 square inches. Six, no sign shall obscure or replace another sign. And then they have class three misdemeanor and what the penalties are for removal. F, application within municipalities pursuant to Article 8 of Chapter 160A of the General Statutes. A city may by ordinance prohibit or regulate the placement of political signs on the right-of-way of streets located within the corporate limits of a municipality and maintained by the municipality. In the absence of an ordinance, then you have to pretty much go by the state regulations. My point is, we do not maintain, well, first of all, I talked to DOT about this last October, and they said they regulate 421, which is Fort Fisher Boulevard, Dow Road, and K Avenue. I asked them about Sunny Point being the adjacent property and whether or not they have ever contacted DOT to forbid placement because they are adjacent to it. And they said no. In all the history of putting signs out there, Sunny Point has never opposed it. And if they did, you know, DOT would certainly let everybody know. We do not maintain 421. We do not maintain Dow Road. Now, we maintain some parking on K Avenue, but we do not repair 421 or Dow Road. We don't fill in potholes. We don't paint lines. We do not maintain it. Therefore, we have no authority over Dow Road. But I guess one of my biggest questions is the ordinance. I'm a little confused, John, because the things you said are not in this proposed amendment. And some of the things, I'd need to read this to people who don't have a copy of this. This is the proposed amendment. Political signs may be erected on any privately owned premises, but one may erect non-illuminated political signs for a period of 17 days prior to any primary or general election. Political signs shall be removed 5 days after, and it doesn't say primary, after the general or runoff election to which the sign pertains to, or after the termination of a candidacy. Political signs may not exceed 6 feet in size. Political signs will not be allowed within the right-of-way of the town limits or any publicly owned property. Political signs in the extraterritorial jurisdiction shall be placed near the tree line from the edge of the road. Let me read that again. Political signs in the extraterritorial jurisdiction shall be placed near the tree line. Okay. Political signs may be erected within 100 yards of the town hall within 24 hours prior to the election. Basically, what this amendment does, it allows us to put signs, or it allows candidates to put signs in the extraterritorial jurisdiction near the tree line, just as the state law does, but it forbids any resident from putting a sign in their yard more than 16 days before the election or primary, 17 days, which means the gentleman who's had the Carson sign across the street for the last 4 months would have to take that down if we pass this ordinance. Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
Yes, I appreciate your point. I mean, I'm kind of libertarian like the friend that talked earlier. I don't think in a personal In private property, I think people should be able to do what they want whenever they want. And I think that, you know, that neither the general statute nor anyone else that I could find says it's okay to regulate that. So for me, if I wanted to put, I can't think of anyone that I would put on my house running right now, but if I wanted to put someone on there, you know, maybe George Washington, I would be so inclined and put it there forever. I could paint it on the side of my house. I'm fine with that. My issue is with public property, right? And so I hear your point about Dow Road, the extraterritorial jurisdiction. Fine. If you say and the statute says, which is really more critical to me, that we can't regulate it back there, fine. I think there's still public property in the town of Curie Beach that can be regulated and that we should regulate, because I think the citizens want that. It's been commented in multiple elections that you can tell the difference when you hit Curie Beach driving down Dow Road, because you have Carolina Beach full of signs and then they stop. And that comment has always been one way, every time I've heard it. Thank God it's like that down here. That's the only way any citizens has ever said that to me in 20 years of being affiliated with the town, right? Multiple elections both ways, right? Mm-hmm. The council well knows I'm personally against signs because I think they're, in a small town, not necessary, but I understand that that's the political easy way to run for office, right? And if you're a new guy, I understand you feel you need to get your name out with signs. I think in a town of 2,200 people, you shouldn't have to do that, but that's fine. So I think we should balance it. For me, I think since the statute doesn't allow us to take extraterritorial jurisdiction, we should take that out of the proposed amendment if we need to send it back to P&Z or do it ourselves. I don't know which way, Mr. Attorney, the way it is at this point. But if we don't have the authority, we should take it out. And I think we should take out the private-owned premises because I don't think we should be regulating that. But we should focus on the public property because that's our job. And I think the five of us should figure out what that is for that regulation, and then we should fix our ordinance because the current ordinance is not right. The building inspector can't enforce it. This general statute doesn't give us the authority, and no one's happy about it. So we should fix it. So the question is, what do we fix? Mr. Attorney, do we rewrite it now, or do we boot it back to P&Z? Since we've had two public hearings now.
Well, it's up to council what you want to do, but I would like to make a statement of your opinion.
Yes, sir, I'm finished. I'm sorry.
Provision.
Sure.
I was a little confused when you said that we have no jurisdiction on Dow Road. Technically, by law, we don't, but we do keep Dow Road clean. We have gators that go up and down. I've seen them for years on the side, both sides of the road, picking up trash. And when we decided to change this ordinance, I had put in there the extraterritorial jurisdiction, and John suggested that signs be put near the tree line for the purpose of clearing path for the gator. Also, moving the signs back from your bicycle path. And I was thinking in terms of this new proposed amendment that the first sentence be included, the second sentence eliminated, change 5 days to 10 days, and eliminate the last sentence. We'll make it simple and short, where it will read simply, political signs may be erected on any privately owned premises. Political signs shall be removed in 10 days after the general runoff election to which the sign pertains or after the termination of candidacy, whichever occurs first. Political signs may not exceed 6 square feet, and the political signs will not be allowed within the right-of-way of the town limits or publicly owned property. political signs in the extraterritorial jurisdiction shall be placed under the near the tree line from the edge of the road.
What's the definition
of
tree
taking
line?
Yeah. There we go.
I'm sorry,
what happens if they cut the trees down?
What
happens if they cut the trees down? What's the definition of a tree line?
Well, your tree line's moved back. But you've got that swath of right-of-way that they've cut.
Well, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, nothing changes over there. But
yeah.
What we're defining the term tree line and not defining it as the buffer zone.
Right.
So
yeah,
that means tree line anywhere.
But let me say this. It's real confusing. The gray areas. I love the state of North Carolina. They can really put you in a quandary. We're sitting here talking about, well, the property belongs to the government. Yes, it does. Does the government care? No, they don't. The roads, the speed limits and everything else are controlled by the state. There is a statute in place that says that any zoning law passed by a municipality, the state must abide by that law. So, what can I say to you? It's the most confused place to get along.
Does this say that you cannot control private property, signs on private property, or
that's
are the now private property signs regulated by Section D as well?
We can control the size of them.
Okay. We can control the size on
yes
private property.
Yeah.
Not the message. Nobody wants to control the
that's
message,
right,
but you can control the size.
That's right.
Okay. And I understand you want to take the sentence out about signs being erected 100 feet from the town
right
hall 24 hours. You
the
want
reason
to take
for
that out
is because the Board of Education can take care of their own laws. We're
the
not
Board
here
Elections
to enforce their laws.
You mean New Hanover County Board of Elections?
Yes.
Board of Elections, not Education.
Board of Elections. So, I mean, I said it can mean elections.
Well, but if you take that sign out, that means there would never you couldn't have political signs at all in town hall?
No.
No, that's
he says
it
says
be,
it
would
says
be controlled
not on public
by your state
property
statute.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Huh?
Your state statute control that.
The county board of
well,
election
could we
law
just
what
send this back
to
you?
We can, he said we could do whichever we want. I'm fine either way, but it's got to change, right?
Yes.
I mean, it has to change. Whether it goes to PNZ or we change it, we can send it back to the attorney and tell him to bring it back. But my only point is it has to change.
My particular view in light of the fact that the gators do use, we do maintain, excellent point, Andy, thank you. I hadn't thought of that. The fact that we do maintain it, the fact that we do have a great number of cyclists on Dow Road. Matter of fact, there are cycling events along Dow Road, not necessarily during elections, but for any particular signs. I think maybe we should send this back to and let the attorney rewrite it with that intent and then take another.
Well, council needs to give him guidance, right?
Right.
Yes.
Because we haven't all came up with the same guidance yet. So that's not really fair to send him right back when he doesn't know what he's writing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from my standpoint, I think it sounds like, and I'm asking the rest of council now, for privately owned premises, other than the size regulation, there's no thoughts of regulation from the council, right? Are we all in agreement with that one?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
For the period of time that signs go up, we want to conform with the state of 30 days, I think, right?
Yeah.
Well, now that's on the highways.
Yeah. Okay. Well, or
that's not.
Or yeah, he
property
said take. Yeah, not private property, right?
Okay.
And they have to be removed 10 days after the final election, right? The general runoff, right? Whatever it pertains to, or the termination. And then I think the issue is for the right-of-way in the town, right? Or publicly owned property, because it's not just the town right-of-way. It's also our park. It's also the oceanfront park. It's also the leased lot that we have right now. That's all public property. And so
it's necessary because we have substandard size streets.
Right.
Have large streets.
Well, I think the council, yeah. I think it's necessary too. That, I mean, everyone agrees, Andy. So the question is, the council's got to decide what we agree. I think we just don't have them on public property. Citizens can support whoever they want in private property, and all the candidates can call people individually and get permission to put it in their lots. Yes, sir.
Mr. Hagel, there was a comment that we can control the size, we can't control the message. Well, if you run for election, you get a packet from those nice folks from the Board of Elections. There's a section in there on signs. And I don't know if it's legal and all the regulation part of that, but there's certainly good order and discipline that should be maintained. And you cannot, according to their published material, you can put your name, I'm running, I can't put it on my sign. David Hagler is a, and be very,
that's fine.
It may be okay with you, but it's not okay with the Board of Elections.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think they'd have
so
a problem enforcing it, maybe.
Okay, but to me, to hear us talk about, you can put any message on the sign, as long as it's so big, yes, I personally.
Yeah, but I don't think we're saying that in this in this ordinance.
We're just regulating where they're at.
No, I know. It's not in the ordinance.
Yeah.
Also, Board of Elections requires you to have in the corner who made the sign, who is supporting the sign, you know, who's spending money on the sign. So there are some things not in this reg and not in the North Carolina state. My term had to do with good order and discipline.
Right.
And that's from the candidate's viewpoint, not the people who are allowing the candidate to put it in their yard.
Right.
This doesn't address what the candidates can and cannot put on there. But the last sentence I really think we need to keep, because up here we're saying not on any public owned property, and down here
I agree.
That means we'd never.
No, I agree with you.
Okay.
That's what I was asking, right? So I think
I would like that.
So did you get the points, Andy, or do you got to listen to the tape, right? Because I don't know that I could list them all again.
Yeah.
But I mean, is it council's consensus? We send it to the attorney to craft.
Well, I think we need to send it to PNC. That's
then they have to do another public hearing, and then we have to do another.
No, they don't do public hearings.
Okay.
I don't.
I think we're in agreement. We're in agreement philosophically, and we have a direction that if we could get the direction written by the attorney consistent with the statute, the general statute, that we should be able to act.
Are we going along with the county's 100-foot of town hall on election day?
Yeah, I think Emily thought that was important.
I'd say the majority of people don't know that.
Yeah, it is public property. Yeah. No, I think that one stays because, that's like the day of or something. I don't remember what day. I wish this would quit going to the bottom every time I click it. I don't know why I keep doing that. I mean, that's 24 hours prior. That's where everyone puts their signs and then stands out there. And that's everyone's okay with that. I think it's the 30 days of going down Dow Road twice a day looking at 100 signs or 200 signs that people get really aggravated about. I guess, people get more aggravated, I guess.
Do I hear a motion on what the council would like to do?
Make a motion, we send it to the attorney to work with PNC and bring it back at the next meeting.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that is work with PNC. Okay, thank you, John.
Make a motion, we close the public hearing.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Closed. Could we take a 5-minute break before we
Open
your
meeting
first, then take a break.
We can't take a break in between meetings.
It's because we said
advertisements, so
you need to go with the advertisement. It says 7:30, but we ran over. Open the meeting and recess.
Okay, I thought that was always you couldn't start before 7:30, but you to start out with. Do I hear a motion to open our meeting?
Make a motion.
Second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are now open.
Make a motion, we take a 5-minute recess.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Y'all have fun.
I know. I was texting Susan back home. I said, we're still talking about it. Anyway, they call for the
service. First Baptist, Curie Beach.
Brand new.
Okay, yes, brand new. Hardly more than a week.
Yeah, I'm Rick. How do you do, ma'am?
Hi.
And new pastor at First Baptist.
I'd like to come over and talk to you sometime if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. That'd be great.
And I assume you don't mind doing the Pledge of Allegiance tonight.
No, not at all. I just had to serve refresh my memory. I'm used to doing it from VBS.
Okay, hi, how are you doing? Nice to meet you. Good to meet you, sir. I'm a member of St. Paul's, but you probably have met Pastor Black.
Oh, okay.
I have not, but I have.
Do you have the chiropractor to see what your church is?
I just sent my wife to the chiropractor here. He comes to the island twice a week.
There you go. Unpaused.
I'm calling you. do I hear a motion to bring us back into order here?
Make a motion we return to session, ma'am.
Okay, tonight I would like to welcome Pastor Rick Butterworth, who is brand new to Curie Beach. He is now minister of the Curie Beach First Baptist Church. Welcome to you and your family. Have you actually started on the job? Or?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Last Sunday is my first Sunday in pulpit.
Okay, and today's your first time preaching or praying for the church.
I'll just pray, yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the invitation. After I pray, we all rise to our feet for the pledge. Almighty God, thank you that we have the privilege of coming together as a free people, a free land, to glory in democracy. We pray, Father, for order tonight and wisdom for all involved. We thank you for the elected officials in front of us, Lord, and they serve us in that capacity, and they have a great responsibility on their shoulders. But Father, we too, as the citizens of this community and this region, we have a responsibility to be involved, to know what's going on, to have an informed consent, and not just a word to say, but an informed and knowledgeable word to say to our fellow citizens and to our leaders. Lord, we do thank you that we have so much freedom in our land, and we pray that may continue. I thank you, Father, for our freedom of religion as well, that as a pastor, I can come to this body and speak a word of invocation to this group. Lord, we do love you, we thank you, we bless you, and we recognize your sovereignty in history and in the people of this land. And again, we thank you, thou Lord, in the precious name of our Lord. Amen. Would you rise to your feet now as we stand together and face the flag and the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend. I hope you'll join us many times to come.
Thank you.
Okay, the consent agenda. Do I hear any changes, comments, questions?
Make a motion, we approve it.
Second on that, I would like to remove item 4 completely.
Okay.
For item 10, I would like to add, and anybody who wants to help me with the spelling is welcome to, I would like to accept Sam's resignation from the marketing committee on number 10. Last name, K-H-A-T-I-B. For item 11, I would like to add the appointment of Alan Oliver as a member of the MPO Bike and Pedestrian Committee. Okay. Any other?
So, can you, just why is number 4 getting pulled?
Because there have been some changes and we're going to add it to our regular agenda.
Okay.
Okay. You'll understand when we get to the regular agenda.
Okay.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. For the adoption of our regular agenda, I would like to add, before discussion and consideration of persons, I would like to add awards.
Excuse me, Madam Mayor. Point of order, you added and took away, but did you vote on the consent agenda?
Yes.
As a whole?
Yes.
Yes. Just did.
Yes.
Okay.
Motion here, second. Okay. Our, anyway, I would like to add awards as the first item under there, and Nancy Avery will take care of that section. Also, under the marketing committee report, I would like to switch Kim and Robin back there. So Kim will go first and Robin will go second. Then item C, the appointment of Debbie Elliott as a regular member of the marketing committee. And item D, the approval of an addition of an alternate member position on marketing committee. Anyone else have any changes or comments? Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion to accept the agenda with the changes for the mayor.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Ms. Avery, could you give our awards announcement tonight?
I want to recognize and congratulate our Deputy Town Clerk, Ms. Hewitt. She has achieved a very prestigious designation of CMC, which is Certified Municipal Clerk with the International Institute of Municipal Clerks. She has also applied and we expect to receive her CMC designation with the North Carolina Association of Municipal Clerks. It's not an easy designation to get. It requires a lot of educational requirements, including a very intense four-week course at University of Chapel Hill and School of Government, where they teach you A to Z, everything about municipal and county government that clerks have to be involved with. It's also 4 weeks away from your personal life that you do in pursuit of a career with the town. So I'm very pleased and proud to recognize her for that achievement.
Thank you. Okay, discussion and consideration of persons to address council. Greg Reynolds from the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce has a funding request.
Good evening, Mayor, Commissioners. I'd like to congratulate on the recent election with the Mayor, Emily Swearinger, being elected, David Edler being re-elected, and Joseph Wesley, welcome. To you, welcome back. Craig, keep up the good work. And Nancy, congratulations. Once again, we're before you to ask for the funding for the summer concert at Fort Fisher. We have the second and fourth Fridays of June, July, and August. They're, if you've been to them, they're very well attended. It's a good opportunity for all the tourists and locals alike to have a nice Friday afternoon during 6:30 to 8:30. The dates this year are June 10th, June 24th, July 8th, July 22nd, August 12th, and August 26th. We're asking for the same amount we've had for the last few years, is $8,800, which includes the band, first class sound, and advertising, sport advertising. I'll be glad to answer any questions you have. I do understand this is free consideration and will not be up to your budget. It is approved.
Any questions?
Do you have the form for Arlen? You'll work that out, right?
Yeah, it actually goes out on the website by the end of this week.
Excellent. So just fill that in, yes, sir.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
Discussion and consideration of committee business, Board of Adjustment, Community Center Committee. Was Robin coming tonight?
No.
Okay. Marketing Committee. We have with us tonight Kim Huffam from our Tourist Development Authority.
I could just pretend my something's up there and we'll just go on with the show. So well, good evening, Mayor Swearingen and Council, and congratulations to the new members. Some of you I haven't gotten to speak to before, some of you have seen my face many times through different presentations, et cetera. And as you all know, as a council, Mayor Swearingen is now on our TDA board and attended her first meeting back in January. And at the time, I presented this to the TDA as our mid-year update, and so she asked that I come down tonight and share it with you all. Understand as we go through this that this is actually the destination budget, you know, as you'll get into this, and as you all know, especially the marketing committee, that, you know, we also have separate marketing plans and results that we do for Curie Beach itself. Those are not included tonight. This is countywide, so you're going to get to see, of course, Curie Beach is included in that as well, but that's what you're going to see. I wanted just to run real quickly through my famous flow chart. You all probably get tired of seeing this. Some of you do, some of you may not have been able to see it. But when we talk about all of this, when we talk about the marketing, when we talk about the funding requests, the tourism-related activities, et cetera, it all goes back to our occupancy tax. And our room occupancy tax that's collected here in New Hanover County is a total of 6%. And as you follow the flow chart here, you see that the total at the top is the 6%. And then because of the way our legislation is written, we have some legislation that has been grandfathered in since the late 1980s. And we also have some new legislation that came into effect in the early 2000s, 2003, whenever we added the second 3%. So as you can see, that's why we have it broken down into two separate sections. Under the first 3% distribution, those dollars go to our, I still call it beach renourishment, I think now it's this. CERC, whatever, the Coastal Storm Reduction.
Damage reduction.
One of those initials in there. I said I would still call it the Beach Renourishment Fund. But as you can see, that of the first 3% of the occupancy tax that's collected countywide in New Hanover County, 60% of those funds go to our Beach Renourishment Fund, at less the Convention Center District. And then 40% of that comes back to the TDA, and that's how we do our countywide marketing, which is what this report will reflect on tonight. And then, of course, the City of Wilmington, anything within the Convention Center District goes straight to the city for Convention Center development and marketing. Then on the second 3% distribution, as I said, in 2003, when they enacted the second 3% in New Hanover County, all that is based on point of collection. So as you can see, the three beach towns, each of their legislations are written exactly the same. What it is, we'll refer to Curie Beach, but again, Wrightsville Beach and Carolina Beach are the same. And how that money is split is 50% for promotions and 50% for tourism-related activities. And that's where we get our marketing committees and the funds that our marketing committees oversee and work with. And then also your tourism-related activities, which the town here has spent for such activities as lifeguards, supporting festivals and those types of things throughout the year. And then we also have the City of Wilmington collections. Again, it's back to point of collection, so everything collected within the city limits of Wilmington goes to the Convention Center development. And then we also have District U, which is split two-thirds promotions and one-third activities. And as you know, the activities funds have been designated for our shallow inlet dredging projects. So, any questions on that, or is that? To show you how it breaks down when we look at dollar-wise, the room occupancy tax collections for fiscal year 14-15 were $10.3 million here in New Hanover County. And when you look at that, not all of those funds go to any one place. As you can see here, many things are funded, as I just alluded to on the flow chart. The erosion, the beach erosion or beach nourishment gets about 27% of those total funds annually. Tourism, or the CDB, which is, again, the destination budget, we get about 20% of those funds. As you can see down here, Curie Beach, it's about 4% of the total, or a little over $400,000 annually out of the second 3% that covers your marketing and your tourism-related activities. In your other two beach towns, and then your conventions, the convention center district gets about 30% of those total collections. Then we look at it, distribution by category. When we look at how are those funds spent overall when you put them all together, as you can see, 30% of those funds are spent for marketing. Total, that includes your three different beach budgets, plus your district U budget, plus your destination budget. So when you add all of those together, about 30% of those total funds go to marketing. Tourism-related activities equates to 13%. The beach nourishment, again, is 27%, and the city of Wilmington at 30% for the total of the $10.3 million annually. Okay. And this is one of the ones I think Mayor Swearingen especially wanted you all to see, something you can be very proud of in Curie Beach. If you look at the one destination on that chart that has double digits both fiscal year and calendar year, it's Curie Beach. So the room occupancy tax collections and the growth that we've seen here at the beach have been very strong and continue to be. Again, this is through November. We just got December's in, and I didn't get to update it before I sent it over to Nancy, so I just left it through November. But again, your December collections were up as well, so you're going to end up your calendar year very strong as well as your fiscal year. When we look at countywide, for the fiscal year to date, 15-16, July through November, we're up 3.35%, and for calendar year through November, we're up 5.04%. And what's exciting about this also is that we have set three benchmark years prior to this. And this past year, when we, 14-15 collections, when we topped the $10.3 million, it was the first year countywide that we collected over $10 million in room occupancy. So that fund, as we've seen, is very important to so many aspects, different parts of things that we use it for here in our county, and we're working hard through our marketing efforts to continue to see that grow. Just going to run through a lot of these. I know you look at it and go, oh yeah, convention and group sales, that's high on our priority here at Curie Beach, you know. But you do have some meeting facilities. We do market you as a whole through our meeting and convention programs. We have some, like I said, some small meeting facilities here. I know the aquarium hosts events down in their area. So as you can see, though, we're very strong. The top markets that we look at as a destination are association, sports, religious, and corporate are our top market segments when we look at our group convention market. Some of the activities that we do, and I'm not going to read these by any means throughout the year, but as you can see, we have a very active group sales department that's funded through the first 3% of the occupancy tax. We've had over 38 site visits, industry events were over 20, they've made 133 sales calls, and the staff has attended 9 trade shows to date. And again, this is the first 6 months. And then some of the upcoming activities that will be going on through the Bureau itself, as you can see those. When we look at communications PR, we all know the importance of getting the word out, and especially the amount of money that we put into our communications and yet the return on investment that we get. And I'll share that number with you in just a moment. But as you can see, again, and you know, please remember when we do these numbers here, these are countywide. So there's been some of these press releases were just for Curie Beach as well as, you know, Wilmington or the other beaches as well. So to date, the first 6 months, we've had 22 press release distributions. We've had individual journalist site visits at 17. And then you can see down our earned media and then our non-media inquiries. These are some of the activities that have gone on throughout the year. We've had, I was trying to see here, when they did some of those. I think it's on the next page list, some of the things that actually Curie Beach had been recognized for as well. Here we go. Curie Beach and Carolina Beach made Tripping.com's 10 best beaches in North Carolina during the summer of 2015. And again, this is just a small sampling as you go down there, but you can see some of the accolades. The aquarium made TripAdvisor.com's top 25 U.S. aquariums. And again, as you can see down there, Carolina, and then also Curie Beach and our beaches as a whole, and some of the accolades we have received during 2015. This is just a sampling of some of the publications that we as a whole have been included in. And then we'll... And then marketing-wise, we'll talk a little bit again focusing back on the countywide campaign. To date, the destination budget, that first 3%, has spent $113,846 on media. And as you can see, the biggest part of our media has been spent online because that's where we're seeing our best return on investment. Still investing in print, e-specials, Facebook, and out-of-home. To date, we've had over 126,000 inquiries as a result of that 113,000 that we've spent between July and the end of November. Again, you can see 41% of those have been online, 38% have been our e-specials, which are no doubt our most effective and cheapest way of marketing. We seem to get the most return from those. We've had some good Facebook and 1% through print. And as you can see again, our total highest inquiries at 47,650 has been our e-specials, some of our pay-per-click campaigns that we do, Facebook, etc. On the website, this is the number that I really like to be able to point out to you. As you can see, our total downstream exit inquiries, and you may wonder, well, what is a downstream exit inquiry? And the way our website is set up, we call it a portal. It really is a portal website where we have the destination as the umbrella, and then under that umbrella we have each of the beach communities as well as Wilmington. And then what happens is when someone goes to our website, you know, they'll click on the home page. And what's a great number is that we've had 87,326 total downstream exits for this period, the first 6 months. And of those, almost 30,000 of those have exited to the beach individual websites. And this is what we want to see. We want to see the activity where they come to our website, but then they exit. It's also great to see the number of exits that have gone to our partners. And again, this is where we want to drive the traffic. We want to build the awareness of the destination as a whole, and we want the potential visitor to look at it and go to a specific site, whether it's a beach, whether it's lodging, attractions, or whatever. So we've had really, really good results today with the way that they're using the website and we're able to track where they're going and what exit points they're using. Again, we look at our year-over-year, July through December, our performance indicators here. What's really good about this, we've had over 375,000, almost 376,000 visits. Unique visitors, we've had over 311,000 of those. The good part is our average time on our site is up 17%. Our email sign-up is up 130%. And I know that you see down the bottom numbers showing that our visitor guide sign-up is actually down. But however, we have gone to a digital version of our visitor's guide on the website, and those numbers continue to increase. So we're glad to see that number grow. These are some of the projects that are going on right now in our marketing and website projects that have been completed for this year. And again, I'm not going to bore you. You've got a copy of this, so feel free to read it. If you have any questions, feel free to let me know about these. But very busy. Okay, on social media, we all know the importance of social media and what happens with that and the way that our consumers, visitors are using that now. Today, again, now this is the destination, the Wilmington and Beaches Facebook page, not the individual beaches. We have 111,911 total social subscribers when we look up at our different media channels, social media channels that we use, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, and YouTube. And all of those numbers are up, increased over previous year. One of the things that we wanted to do this past year is we wanted to tie our public relations campaign more closely into what marketing was done, where we were placing our advertising, making it more aware, trying to build more awareness with it. So we took and decided that we wanted to look at some target markets and really hit the PR media side as well as the advertising side. So we did some in-state additional target media this year in Charlotte and the Triad, which are all great feeder markets for all our locations within our destination. And we also did some out-of-state in Georgia, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. And with that, we felt like that we would get hopefully some results. And we did. During this time, we were able to get one press release, 6 story angle pitches out of that, 29 earned placements, 12 were in print, and 17 were online. But this is the number that really jumps and shows you the value of PR. And again, anytime any of our locations are talked about, it benefits us all. And we had 46.2 million impressions. We had $178,000.
What do you mean by impressions?
That is the potential eyes that could have seen this.
Okay.
Okay. The potential, they look at circulations and those types of things, like if it's, you know, Better Homes and Gardens, what their circulation was in that magazine. That's the potential eyes. We can't guarantee that we saw it by any means. But, you know, that is the potential we have when we talk about an impression. And in that, though, the $178,000 in ad value, that's what it would have equated. If we had had to buy ads in the publications that we were covered in for these, it would have cost us $178,000. And in PR value, it would have cost us over $500,000 if that's the value that we saw as a result. So when you look that we spent $10,000 for this targeted campaign, and yet the PR value is over almost half a million dollars, we got a 53-to-1 return on our investment. So we can see that the PR and communications, the target media that we did, worked well for us, and we're going to continue that as we look at our upcoming marketing plan and our new fiscal year. Some of the upcoming activities that we have going on, we'll be hosting the Society of American Travel Writers, a familiarization tour. They're going to be in Raleigh for their annual meeting, so they're going to be coming down to our area. And again, when we have this opportunity, we showcase the entire area and try to make sure that we're able to touch each one of our areas. We'll be participating in some legislative events for tourism during April and May as session goes back in. National Tourism Week, which is always a great time for us, and I know some of you in the past have attended some of the events that we have during National Tourism Week. That will be in May. Of course, we're hot and heavy right now in our strategic planning and budgets, working not only with, and he's laughing at my terminology, I guess, not only with the destination, but also with our beaches and our marketing committees. We'll have some staff attending the North Carolina Conference on Tourism. And I was reappointed back in January to the North Carolina Travel and Tourism Board, so we'll be at the state level involved in the activities there. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Guys?
Okay. Well, thank you again. As I said, you know, we're here to work with you, and you know, we enjoy, Curie Beach is a wonderful place, so of course it's just one of our many assets that we get to promote. And, again, you know, we're here to serve and work with you, and we are enjoying Mayor Swearinger being back or being on our board now, and look forward to working with her.
I do have one question for you. You know, with us doubling, in most cases tripling or even quadrupling what everybody else improved in this past year, you know, with us having a 13% increase of heads on beds and all, what do you attribute that to, you know, as far as us being so far ahead of everybody else? And you almost wonder, were all of our motels vacant before and now all of a sudden they're full? Or
it's really hard, and it is funny because you've been the ones within our destination that we ourselves have been trying to wrap around how you've had such an increase. Of course, a lot of it's rates. I mean, you know, as your rates go up annually, and you know, we're seeing the economy better, we're seeing rates, and I think a lot, some of your inventory, we've seen a big inventory. I think we kind of call it, I guess, a switch down in Curie Beach over the last few years. Some of your smaller hotels have, you know, closed, and yet you've got more homes on the market for rent. And those types of homes bring in big dollars. And so, of course, that helps with the occupancy tax. And, of course, you've got more people coming. I mean, we know that. We've seen all the destinations where we've looked and compared to what our actual average daily rates run and our occupancies are running versus our rates. It's kind of a combination of all those put together. But it's very hard to pinpoint exactly why. And we've asked the same question within our own staff of, you know, because it's great. You all, like I said, have outpaced every other municipality and countywide for the last couple of years.
Do we have any idea what the saturation point would be? You know, at what point all of our motels are so full they can't take any more?
We're not there yet. We know that. You know, we're really not sure because, again, you know, we try, during the summer months, we try to build awareness. We try to keep awareness going because, as I said, no one is 100% occupancy all June, July, and August, even though that is our busy point. And again, we're trying to make our campaigns to bring in during the off season. And I think those are working. We're seeing our numbers. That's the good part. When you go back and look at the breakdown of the months, a lot of the growth we're seeing, because we have the greatest potential for growth, of course, is in our fall months and our spring months. And so we'll continue to work toward those. And, you know, but at this point, no, we don't really know what the saturation point would be, because we've got a lot of growth potential throughout the fall and the spring as well. So.
Okay. Thank you.
I would also assume, Kim, that a little bit of it is the law of small numbers.
It is, like you said, because your numbers keep growing, like you said. Yeah.
$10 so, on $100
right.
is a lot, is a bigger percent.
Right.
Right.
We find that out sometimes. It's funny because when we see, like, in December or January, all of a sudden somebody will have a 40% downfall or something. And like you're saying, it could be a term, dollars-wise, of a couple of thousand dollars. But because the numbers are smaller, the potential for a bigger percent can be that as well. So, but y'all are doing great. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Robin is from our aquarium, and she is also chairman of the Kiri Beach Marketing Committee. So she's going to tell us a little bit about the rollover money that is available so far this year, and how the marketing committee recommends that it be spent.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for having me tonight. I am going to run through briefly these slides. You will all, I believe, provided the presentation. So if you have questions, please let me know. But I'm not going to read them verbatim. I'm just going to run through them. So we are asking for the Council's approval for a total rollover budget for fiscal year 15-16 of $47,542. That came from the that is ROT rollover, and I'll run through these recommendations that were approved by the Marketing Advisory Committee for Kiri Beach.
So was that the total amount? So you're requesting
the
total amount?
That is the total amount, and then I will run through. There is a contingency. Assuming that's what you're. I don't know if that's
yes, that
asked,
is exactly
there's,
what I'm
there is
a
contingency built in. Yes.
Okay.
So the first item for $5,000, we have our online display. That would be online ads, and those are just standard display ads, and that is, the money would go to increasing that campaign by 4 weeks. That is already in place with our current marketing dollars. The next item is $5,000 for a current online video that will run, and that's an addition of 4 additional weeks to that tactic that is already in place.
Is that 4 weeks at the end? So more towards summer?
An additional weeks in the spring. Yes, 4 additional weeks in the springtime. Our marketing, the marketing primarily that is done for the town is done in the shoulder seasons, in the spring and in the fall.
Okay. Okay.
The next item, sorry about that. The next item is a line item of 10,000, and that will be used for, Facebook is always changing, constantly evolving, and they have new Facebook ads that are lead generating, and these are, and so it drives your email signups for the visitor's guide, and people can directly request those online. That has not been an option for us in the past, and it is now, and that's $10,000 for that. These are highly targeted. People are taking the action right there on their computers, and social media, it cannot be said enough, is just a tremendous tool for the marketing of Kiri Beach. The next item, I'm not going to read this, but this is about native content. And the simplest way to say this is that we have a line item that sponsors native content. We've got public relations stories that are written for the town, slideshows, blog posts that are then sponsored on out in different networks, digital networks. And so instead of being a specific ad, it is a sponsored story. And those appeal more to the consumer. They just get more out of it. They don't it's not being direct, they don't feel like they're being directly advertised to. And so the network that would be has been recommended is the budgettravel.com. Again, that's a $10,000 line item, and that's for 12 weeks from March to May.
Was that the, it was 5-5-10, and this is another 10?
No, I'm sorry, no, this is the 10.
The
I apologize.
10.
This is,
okay.
I apologize. I was explaining how this works.
No problem. I got it. I was just trying to keep up with you.
Gotcha. I have a slide, too, that has them all listed out. By
okay.
Line. And I'm sorry,
I'll
I should have said
that
earlier.
And so right. When the committee decided budgettravel.com, did you look, is that where a typical visitor fits into the demographics-wise?
Yes, so there was a great deal of research.
Okay.
Curry Beach is very fortunate. The CVB has a tremendous asset in their marketing partners in their agencies, and they have a tremendous amount of research available to them. And so they're specifically targeting the women decision makers I believe it's about 25 to 54. I believe are the ages, and so this is areas where they're looking and they're being targeted. They're trying to get their multi-generational families down to the beach and not spend the kids' college fund to do it.
Right.
And so these are places that they are going and they are visiting. And so that research was all done before this recommendation was made.
Okay, thank you, Jerry.
This next item goes to what Kim was sharing about the return on investment for public relations. These are in-market press trips. The PR agency that works with the CVB is reaching out to different bloggers, to different journalists, and inviting them down for these targeted press trips featuring the destinations and stories that they are writing when they are here and from what they've seen. That is where we get those huge return on investment numbers. And so this is a line item of $2,000 to sponsor those trips. They also do all that they can working with area attractions and area lodging partners to keep these numbers low. And they do everything they can to leverage those partnerships.
So we're paying for the journalists, say for their overnight stays and their food and all. Do you know
that? I don't.
We have to pay some. Yeah. Sometimes we'll have our partners will, provide rooms or some meals and those types of things. So that $200 to $250 that's offset.
Yeah.
What we get. We try to get as much as we can for it. We beg.
I was just wondering maybe you can tell us sometime after a little research on it, which one of the partners here in Curie Beach really step up to the plate so we can thank them and let them know.
We can put that together for you.
Okay.
And this is proactive outreach. This is a $2,500 line item for the PR agencies, and they are looking. The strategy is to look to partner with a travel writer and blogger, and to start a sponsored blogger program. Bloggers are growing; their influence is growing, and that's what this item would be for. So, for the rollover recommendations. This is laid out: online display ads, online video, Facebook leads, budgettravel.com for the native sponsored content, increased PR support. Then there is a $10,000 line item for website development, and that is an update for the website due to outdated functionality and software applications. And then there is that would be a total of $44,500. And then there's an unspent contingency for $3,042 that is built into the rollover budget.
So last year, what was it the town pushed you guys to keep back as a contingency?
Last year.
And we made an agreement with the CVB about it, right?
Well, but it wasn't really an agreement. I mean, you all could, you know,
sort of was
funds, yeah. So as long as those funds, you know, are understood that if they are spent, they have to be spent for marketing. You know,
no, I understand.
Like you said,
I was just asking what the percentage was last year.
I was trying to think. Was it 10%? It might have been. I think it was 10%.
I don't remember. Anybody, Emily or Craig, remember?
I thought it was 10%, yeah. But I have a question. Does that money remain in there indefinitely?
It rolls over.
Until we have a hurricane.
So, no. Yeah. So
no, it rolls over. That's what becomes part. When you look at the rollover there, that $47,000 of rollover is not just necessarily revenues over budget. It's also the difference between expenses and revenue last year. Anything you had left over goes into that. And then also, if you had held back any money, that falls back into that rollover budget.
Okay, so whatever.
And it just keeps rolling.
So whatever the 10%
was. And you have to remember, though, that there is a 25% fund that's already sitting there, that sits there annually, that's taken off the top of this by state legislation.
But it doesn't grow and grow and grow.
Well, as your total budget grows, it does grow because it's always 25% of what your total budget is.
No, that wasn't my question. Yeah. If we put 25% in there year before last, and you put 25% in there this past year, is that now 50% of our budget? Okay, so that goes into the rollover.
Recalculated annually.
And the 10% that we held out is in that 47,000.
And it rolls back in. That's just the way it's set up. It's always been
set up that way. First of all, I'd like to say, Robin, thank you for the work you and the committee do. It's very important that ROT money is critical to us. Thank you, Kim, for what you and the TDA do for us. And my question is the rollover that we talked about. And I know it's 25%. I've had the opportunity to hear you speak often. And my question is if we do get to a situation where we have a disaster of some type, is that what that rollover would be used for additional advertising to recreate excitement for the community?
Okay, and there's a difference between the rollover and the 25% fund balance. That's really what that 25% is a fund balance. We have a fund balance requirement on each of the beaches. We have a fund balance requirement for the destination as a whole. And the beaches are 25% on the marketing side, 16.67% on the tourism-related activity side. And, you know, so that money, like I said, is recalculated annually when the audit's done. It goes back, it looks what your expenses are, and it says, okay, then this is your 25%, and this is held over. But yes, to your point, what it is, not only is that used, but let's say there is a hurricane or some major disaster mm-hmm. that happens, we also have the flexibility. If something like that, we go into what we call kind of crisis mode, and we look at what we're doing, and we adjust that as well. So not only would we have those funds, but we have our current funds that we would look at readjusting and working with the agency to do what would be most effective to make sure and get the word out, the beaches are back open, and these types of things. So.
So I think the important part to understand is factually 75% of the funds that come in for
is all that's used.
Is all that several years.
Right. That's all we are allowed to use annually. Is actually, to your point, like you said, 75% of those funds.
Well, no, because the stuff from last year doesn't stay in there and keep building.
Right.
No, but the 25% is there always.
Right. So we collect $100,000 this year. Mm-hmm. There's $25,000 that you put in at the start of this. 30 years ago, let's say 20, now we collect 500,000 and whatever, 5 times 25, 125,000 has to be in that fund. Well, if you already had 125,000 in there, you don't have to add any more. You could just spend it all.
For that 1 year, you wouldn't. If you stayed level for that year.
So my point is, what the council tried to do last year was to start building that more than the bottom layer. So the town has a policy which the state says we have to have 7% of our general operating fund, and we as a council have said that's not enough, and we have a higher target that we do.
And that's the same way with us, because we're only, I think it's whatever, 7 or 8%, because we're a public authority. So technically, yes, so they decided though to build it up to 25% to have.
And who was they?
The county did. Whenever they set up the TDA, the county did.
Right, and then Curie Beach last year decided we wanted to build up higher than that, and we did that 1 year, and now you're saying it's rolled back in here, so we're dropping back to the 25%. Is that, am I understanding this right? We looked at the numbers? Right. So you're taking all that extra money that the town directed the marketing committee to cut and put in there, and you're rolling it back in here and then spending it.
Well,
it's up to you all. Well, no, that's what I'm asking. I just want to make sure I understand the numbers, right? Right? I'm not saying what I want or don't want. I just say I want to understand, right? So, so what we're
that's
doing...
That's what makes up the rollover, yes.
So if we approve this, we've dropped back to the county's target versus what the council did last year.
Right.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask. Okay. Just want to make sure we all understand where we're at, right?
So whatever you don't approve here gets in addition to the 25%, but only for this year.
Right, only for this year, because at the end of this year, it will roll back in again. That's just
well,
the way
we can keep track of it. So, I mean, I'm smart enough in math, they can just add another graphic to show that. So I understand that. I mean, I think, not to be cute with the marketing committee or the TDA, but the council's input to the committee last year wasn't a one-time thing, I don't think. Maybe it is, because there's a new council up here now. There's three new members. It could be a one-time thing. But, you know, that's why I bring it up, for the council to make a conscious decision on what we're doing. I would be in favor for directing the committee to reduce this and get back to where we directed them, but that's for the rest of the council to think about and decide.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I brought some notes with me. I think that and I may be wrong, but I believe that the 10% was out of the total budget and not out of the rollover budget. That's what you had recommended last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand your point, what you're saying, and where the numbers are. But is it? It is also my understanding that this is how the legislation is written, that those dollars can't go anywhere. So you're just holding on to them for a year, preventing any the additional marketing that could build your ROT further, and so we're just sitting on 10% doing nothing with it. You would be unable to do anything with it, and you're limiting the impact for the town that could be achieved. That's how I see it, because I'm on the marketing committee, but that money, that 10%, isn't benefiting you in a year, and it isn't benefiting us in a year. It's just sitting there.
I understand your point, right? And I'm not saying I disagree with it, because I think the next part that we haven't got to is I would ask the marketing committee to take for action to query the business owners on, is this helping them at all for their summer? So for me, and I know there's at least one hotel owner on the marketing committee, I expect. Maybe more than one. Two.
A small business owner,
right.
Then, of course, the aquarium, and also the fourth.
Right. So, I mean, for me, it's like, is spending money later in the season, which is what your plan does, the right thing for them?
Forgive me, just a point. We spend money early in the season.
I understand.
And then, so the campaign is early, the campaign is late, and then there remains a branding during the summer.
I understand.
Okay.
That's why I asked the question about when you added the extra weeks where they are. So if I was to go ask Mike Robertson or the owner of Pureview Cottages or wherever, would you rather the marketing committee add money in late spring or add money in the fall for the winter season? What would you tell them? I don't know the answer.
That
I have an idea.
I misunderstood.
Yeah, the issue is where you're putting it, adding it on. That's a separate issue from whether the fund should build or not. The council still hasn't answered, right? The council has to answer that. But for me, it's like those extra weeks are, the people have already made their plans. And I could be wrong, right? So, I mean, I have an MBA. I understand marketing. But I haven't researched this specific issue because you guys are doing that, right? And I expect the business owners to give you feedback. But adding on at the end of this plan, to me, is not what I would probably recommend, but I haven't looked at the details. That's what I depend on you guys for. That question doesn't matter. I think the council's got to answer, do we want to reserve or not?
Well, there are two things here. First, it would probably be a good idea if the marketing committee and the staff that we work with look at David's concerns about when is the best time of the year to really concentrate our advertising or add more in, and why. And the other thing is that we've talked about many times, and we've even had Christine on there to actually request that the council help give the marketing committee some direction on who would we really like to see coming to Curie Beach. And we can't necessarily answer that tonight, but they've been focusing on families, and like she said, particularly women between the ages of 25 and 54, because we all know they make all the decisions in the family. And I think as hopefully as we do our comprehensive plan and we have a more of an idea of what we really want to focus on and what we want Curie Beach to be, do we want to focus on making this a retirement destination? Do we want to focus on young families? Do we want to focus on a mixture of that? But I did want you to know that the marketing committee has been very good about asking what does the council want? What would you like for them to do? And so please keep that in mind.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking that actually what we would like to see is one thing, what the marketing group does in support of the business owners who this actually benefits and drives
yes.
CROT could essentially be another. I would have one other question for you, Kim, and that is enforcement of the ROT. Your group does not get involved in enforcement, does it?
No, because it's a county tax. So
right.
It has to
so
be enforced
county
by the county
enforcement.
Tax
on yeah.
Unfortunately,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
the way it's set up. So we don't even see the reports that come in or anything. You know, we just get the monthly.
That's fine. Okay. We're gonna get involved.
Yeah.
So. Right. We're gonna get involved. So.
Okay.
I think that's why ours just went up, because people realize we're going to get involved.
And you can't, you know, as to your point, and I think Curie Beach has been very diligent in reporting and looking for some of the vacation rental by owners, and I've tried to encourage each of the municipalities at any time. If you drive by, just see a phone number. I mean, I can't enforce, but I can get it to the right person that can enforce,
right.
You know, those types of things. And mm-hmm. as you said, I think a couple of years ago, really, you all really started trying to buckle down and have done a great job. And I think that's why also we've seen some of those being able to pick up some of these random homes that aren't being, you know, rented out by agencies and that type of thing. So,
any
so
other questions?
I guess I think the marketing committee would know better than we where to put this, but I agree with David's concern that I guess I would like to hear it as well. We have two owners, we have a few others who I guess I would like to see if you would just speak to them and get the right time.
So so if I understand, council is asking us to survey all the business owners in Curie Beach.
Or talk to a few of them. That surely.
I think
you know,
survey is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
That's a professional marketing thing to do. Yeah,
well,
I think it is survey.
I think once, yes,
yeah.
We have tried. I mean, not saying that we won't try again. I'm not
right.
saying that, but we've had very small success on surveying business owners.
Okay.
And that's
so
and why is that?
They just don't answer. I mean, we send them information and we tell them we're you know trying to use it and trying to better our marketing efforts, not just here at Curie Beach, countywide. Yeah, and it's tough sometimes getting the answers from them. But to your point, you know, you as a council appoint the marketing committee, and it's very important when you look back when they were established that you put people on there
mm-hmm.
that, and also people that you feel like your other businesses would come to and give their input, because it is very important. We rely on that. We need to know it's not just about what a company says up here, but it's about what the people that are here day to day, face to face, with the visitors and what they're seeing and that type of thing. So, I mean, you know, we'll be glad to
yeah.
do what we can again, but yeah.
Maybe we could count on the marketing committee to maybe deliver some of those surveys in person or even call some of them and ask them to please respond or just ask the questions over the phone if there aren't too many.
I think we have, 11 motels or something?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Are you just interested in the motels, or are you interested?
Is that really what you're kind of asking at this point, what the accommodations and rentals are seeing?
I believe that would probably, I don't know. I mean, I don't
Well,
know
we have a lot of day trippers from Raleigh, yeah. right? So I don't think it's just the motels.
That's
I mean, it's
true.
The restaurants as well.
And we have four restaurants.
That's
so.
Right. I mean, it's not like we have a huge plethora of businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's about three apiece.
Right.
Committee members.
We'll see what we can do and pull together. I'll talk with Sean and, right. and the agency and see, because we have, you know, SurveyMonkey and some things like that. Yeah. So let's see
right.
what we can
exactly.
and
if
pull
we
together,
keep it.
And I'll get them to report back to the next marketing committee meeting if that's
yeah.
good, and then they can report back to you.
And add Mike in here. Robertson.
Okay. So
anything else?
Any other questions?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
She needs a motion.
Yeah, I need a motion
for our
yeah. There you go.
Okay. Do I hear a motion on our rollover budget? Don't all speak at once.
I move we ask the marketing committee to consult with our local businesses on the best use of the proposed $44,500.
I'll second that. And after consultation, if there's changes, bring them back.
Okay, and this is in place of approving the budget.
Right. You when so you're adding on to the end is not till March, or well, I guess March is
That's
like
almost couple of months. And you don't meet this month, right?
We do.
You do meet,
we
but
do.
Not
we
next month.
Week.
Not
we'll
next.
We will meet in March as well.
Okay.
Well, the issue is we're going to move our meeting to the end of March. That's not going to really help.
Yeah,
right.
No, that means they miss a whole month of advertising for many of these.
Well, no, it's till May. When is your so the issue is you're making your contracts and extending your contracts is the problem, right?
Yeah, that's the biggest problem because you have to do those so far in advance.
Council, what you
so the contingents.
Go ahead. No,
so, even though there has been placed a contingency in this budget, you still have concerns that it's not enough of a contingency. Is that?
I think there's two concerns. David can speak for himself. One concern is the money we will spend, are we spending it in the proper place? We should depend on the committee to tell us that. And we're just asking if we could ask a few others. That's point one. The second point then is there enough in case of a disaster? Is it 25% enough? Is it 25% of, I forget our number, 200K? Is that enough to revitalize?
400K, right? That's what your earlier slide
your activity side too.
Ah,
yes,
so take half of that, basically half
yeah,
of that?
Take, yeah,
200,
yeah,
okay.
That's right. But also take into that equation, there's also, remember what I talked about, the first 3% and the destination, and we have money set aside for that as well. So just to throw that in, that you know, it's not like if something happened down here, you all would be the Lone Ranger down here and wouldn't have anybody else. I mean, we totally would, you know, flip our budget as well on the side.
And if we set aside 10% now, will that be in the budget in the fall? You know, the new budget coming up in
well,
the fall.
Well, what you need to do is in the new budget, because you know, y'all are in budget planning or the marketing committee's in budget planning, is go ahead and set aside when you're looking at your 15-16 budget, just from what the total number that you'll be given, go ahead and just at that time set aside a 10% contingency, crisis contingency or whatever. You know, you have that option to do that, and you know, through your budget cycle. So
yeah,
I think
the upcoming budget.
Yeah, I think
the
issue for council is we got to figure out where we are and give direction before they make their budget. So last year was sort of last minute, and it kind of, it's not really good for them.
Mm-hmm.
And